Blog Talk Radio.
To the town of Awafria rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip, for the stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw loose and running, came the whisper from each lip, and he's here to do some business with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. In this town there lived an outlaw by the name of Texas Red. Many men had tried to take him, and that many men were dead. He was vicious and a killer, though a youth of 24, and the notches on his pistol numbered 1 and 19 more. 1 and 19 more. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. He was an Arizona ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead, and he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red. After Texas Red. The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 11:20 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from their windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. Was about to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red had not cleared leather when a bullet fairly ripped, and the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. The big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron. And he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. The big iron on his hip.
But I know who I am through Jesus Christ.
talk to you demons like dogs. Satan, you coward, you molester of souls, I command you to appear. You're hiding from the presence of God, but I can feel your fear from here.
Sit on my keyboard long enough, you got something in your craw.
A praying church wants you to know.
Know what?
Your kingdom's gonna fall.
There's gonna be trouble here tonight.
Cause I represent a whole new breed of Christian of today. And I'm authorized and deputized to blow you clean away. I've got a message to deliver from one who's true and just. We'll spit in your eye, you father of lies.
Drop like flies underfoot and in the ground, because greater is he who is in me than the snake I'm staring down. You demon of alcoholism, you'll be the first to go. There's deliverance from you through Jesus Christ, so hit the road. You spirit of infirmity, you ain't welcome here no more. We lay hands on the sick and they recover, so out the door. You demon of false religion, you prayed on minds so simple. I bind the spirit of your song, so hell come on! Play that in your temple. Now, Satan, you're next in line. I'm gonna hit you where it hurts. Cause I'm tired of you and my family, and I'm tired of you and my church. I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. I'm a Holy Ghost filled man, and I'm tolling the bell of your eternal destruction across the land. Cause I represent a whole new breed of Christian of today. And I'm authorized and deputized to blow you clean away. I've got a weapon with two bullets that overcome all sin and crud. One bullet is called the word of my testimony, and the other one's called the blood.
I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world below. There is no sickness, no toil nor danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father and all my loved ones who've gone on. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. Dark clouds will gather round me. I know my way is hard and steep, but beauteous fields arise before me. God's redeemed, their vigils keep. I'm going there to see my mother. She said she'd meet me when I come. So I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight the topic of our show is using fantasy as a reality and how to live for God. Wow, that's a mouthful. Anyway, we're going to be opening up the mics a little later in the show. And remember, if you're listening for the first time, press 1 and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. Well, that was a certainly different intro. Sort of lets us know Wild Bill is up to something different with this show. 2 weeks ago, the Blog Talk system crashed and the show didn't play. I tried to keep the show going while at the same time trying to figure out what was going on, sending out an SOS to God and anybody else that would listen. I found myself all alone by myself without aid and was coming up with my own definition of fear and wisdom, mostly fear. And for those people who called in to listen on the 8-Minute Archive show, I'm sure you could hear the fear in my voice. But I got Wild Bill to delete it from the archives because it was really bad. You got the repeat of this rescheduled show that next week. Wild Bill talked about letting down the fence and letting it rip. But he admitted to me that he still felt like he walked all the way around the barn and trying to make the point of where God was dealing with him. And tonight, you're not going to be even that lucky. Wild Bill is going to go into the world of his mind and call it thinking outside of the box. For those of you who are sane, I'm sure you might have a different name for it. But since he's the host of our show, we're going to allow him a little bit of rope. Then we're going to open up the mics to ask you to be a sounding board and try to salvage this show. I know that after hearing from his mind that you will all be praying for me and my children. But all fun aside, let's try to keep our minds on God, and we might find that even Wild Bill has a few nuggets for us. So, buckle your seatbelts and hang on.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Welcome to the Wild Bill Zone. Thank you all for being with us tonight, and I pray that you can forgive me for my little bit of silliness here, but I've been listening to some of the archive shows and trying to get a grasp as to why I've had such a struggle with trying to share with everyone the things that God's been really dealing with me in my life. There's been such an anointing as he's speaking to me, and there's different points that come out, different questions that come up, and I just had a real, I don't know what the word is, but a problem with being able to speak clearly and share that with you, which anyone knows you can tell you that, or knows me can tell you that I'm not the best at speaking clearly anyway. But looking at the things of God and the concepts of what he's been trying to share with me, I thought that I would try to make this a little bit humorous and maybe go to a different level in sharing this with you. And one of the things that I was looking at is the mind. And I've heard people say that they think the mind has many rooms in it. Other people say it's like a filing cabinet. It has many drawers. But going, you know, we are the sum of our parts of all the things that's come along into our life and touched us in many different ways, either through training, experience, knowledge, wisdom, you know, all those things we've been talking about. But I like to think of them as room and there's doors. And in my life, I come across different times in my life to where I'll come across a door, and it may open it and be something going back to my past. And one of the things you have to realize when you open these doors in your mind and you look at things in the past, if you look real close, you notice it's a light. It's not quite right. It's not like what it is when you're living in things of real time based on your perceptions and things. And now this is going back, and it was filed at a time that you may be looking at things a little different. Sometimes you open those doors and you look in there, and these things are brought back to remembrance, and you actually walk in and kind of relive it in your mind. You know, you can look at things and all of a sudden you're like, oh, now I understand. Oh, yes, I see now. And there's other times where it can add even more questions as to who we are. But the problem is we can't live in our mind. But the other part of that is that we need to be aware. You know, we've been talking about judging people in our show and judgment and, you know, how that we can be judged the same way. And, you know, one of the things that I felt like I really just was skimming over the surface was is that you can look at people in the Bible. And when we talked about Saul and we talked about his transformation to Paul. And, you know, I kind of hit on it a little bit. But he was one man. There wasn't a man named Saul, and then there was a man named Paul. It was a man who had dual citizenship. He had a Roman name, and he had his, I guess it was his Hebrew name. And so he had both of these names that he could go by. But there was this transformation in his life to where he did away with the name that had to do with status, the name it had to do with probably wealth, education, all those things there. And he went into the man that was of the tribe. God called his chosen people. And he started a new walk and a new direction in his life right there. And we talked last week how he was just as devout as he was as living as Saul, based on his faith and his beliefs, as he was as when he became Paul. And you have to realize is that the people that followed him when he was Saul, they were the same type of people. They thought he was a good man there, and where all the other Christians were running around and run for your life, here comes Saul. You know, all of a sudden, you know, he was the bad man. And so we have this thing to where we want to judge things as being good and bad. And the thing that I want to remind everyone is that it's the same person. They are a person. They are that person that God said that he died that the whole world could have life. He died that he could save the entire world. He didn't say, okay, I did this for the good people, I did this for the bad people. He let us know that we were all his enemy. And he still came and paid the price for us. But anyway, in trying to figure out how to share this with everyone, I went back into my mind of a child, which Starla can tell you that wasn't a very far trip for me to go. But as a young person, I loved things that had to do with science fiction and fantasy world and westerns and space, and I'll just on and on. Something about those things just really intrigued me. And all those things as a boy, and I'm sure the women are probably, you know, relate to things different, but we always wanted to be the superhero. We always wanted to be the gunslinger, the one that had his gun tied down a certain way, that he came to the town and he came to the rescue of those that were less fortunate. Or we wanted to be like King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, who had a certain lifestyle that they sat at a table that was round because nobody was from the head and everyone was equal, and you were your brother's keeper, and you had a responsibility and accountability to those that were weaker than you. And I was thinking about all these things that, you know, a lot of it's considered, you know, old-fashioned and old-timey now and everything. But, you know, we have people that talk about things in church about being fully armed and dangerous. And I thought, wow, what if I could combine a gunslinger with someone maybe from the Knights of the Round Table made it all one character to where he was traveling around doing good, and he had his weapons on, and he was using all of his senses and everything, and he had been trained in the ways of God as a youth, and so he understood that we were in a warfare, and that our enemy, he's real, and he's out there, and he's wanting to kill. He's wanting to steal. He's wanting to destroy. And so he's going out there, and there's going to be always a weaker brother, and there's always going to be that weaker sister. And how easy it is, instead of being a gunslinger, to be one of those people that want to stand off on the side and to sit up there and take off different parts of people's lives and say, you know, this part of them is good, but this part of them is bad, instead of being someone that's going to go up there and I'm the gunslinger. I'm the called. I'm the chosen of God. I'm fully armed and dangerous. I've been trained through His Word. I got power through the power of the Holy Spirit that says that I can be more than an overcomer, but not just for myself, that I can be salt and light, and I can go to the weaker brother. And it's real easy. You know, you go back and in these old westerns, you saw the people that had their sheep, and they would go into an area, and the cattlemen hated them, and they said the sheep cropped the grass too short to where the cows couldn't eat it anymore, and they put up fence because the sheep would wander away, and they talked about how dumb sheep were. That, you know, the cattle couldn't just, you know, roam free to get to the water and the grazing, and so these wars would come along, and then all of a sudden, here come into town the gunslinger. Now the gunslinger, he saw the wickedness that was going on with the people that were more powerful, that had been there before, who had already established in the area, and they had weapons, and they would cause, you know, they would burn people out, and they were shooting people, and they were killing their flocks. And the gunslinger would come, and he'd maybe be in town to where these people were trying to steal their groceries where they were at the store. And he would step in, and he would fill the gap. And he's like, no, you want to go to them, you got to come through me, the gunslinger. And he was a gunslinger for good. And I was thinking of that Carmen song where Satan bought the dust, and he showed this cowboy way of looking at things, and he was battling the different things, and he let us know that his gun was armed with two powerful bullets in it. And the first one was the blood of the Lamb, and the second one was the word of our testimony. And I was thinking how we have this image today of everything is all about me, myself, and I. And we look at things as to how it affects us and what's profitability for us. And we want to sit there and we want to point our fingers at Washington. And we want to point our fingers at family. We want to point our fingers at our pastor. We want to point our fingers at our church. And we want things to be different. And I thought, wow, what if we could all get a spiritual mindset that we want to be spiritual gunslingers? That we're going to go and we're going to see the need of those around us. And we're fully charged with the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. And instead of going up there and we see our brother and our sister that's struggling with something, instead of trying to take the Word of God and loading it in our gun and shooting them with it, or trying to slam them and tell them, you know, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. And because I got news for you, on the times that I fell because I did something wrong, I knew what was wrong. I knew. I knew where my weakness was. And I was reminded of, I got a neighbor, he's a great Hispanic man, and I have a hard time understanding him, and I'm aware of things in his life from us living so close together, to where there's times that he has problems with addictions of alcohol and drugs. And, you know, and I see him at church, and I see him trying, and then I hear from things where he shares with his wife, or I can hear them having, you know, struggle in their home, and all these things that happen, and, you know, where he falls, and he'll, you know, maybe smoke a little marijuana, or he'll come in with a six-pack of beer or something, and, you know, and when you're a man, you try to be, you know, prideful, and you don't want to say, well, it's hot outside, and this, you know, this quenches my thirst, which we all know that we all have excuses for everything. It can be something as simple as to why we lose our temper or something like that, or why we lash out at our brother or sister or something like that, and I guess it's been about 2 months ago, he came to me, which is something that had never happened before, and he confessed his issues of how that he was struggling in his life with drugs and alcohol. He was admitted to me how that he didn't want it to be that way, and it was a struggle, and he would go to church, and God would bless him, and it seemed like the bigger the blessing he had at church, the next day at work, the bigger the struggle was. And so, you know, I had all these different scriptures that came to my mind that I wanted to pretty much shoot him in the head with, and I had these different concepts of God, how you got to stand fast and stand true, and you got to lean on God and not on your own understanding, and all these things that I was thinking about shooting him with. And all that would have been doing would have been no more different than if I'd have taken a real gun and put it to his head and shot him. It kills. And I was thinking how God talks about the letter of the law killeth. And the scripture we had last week, and I can't remember what it was, and somebody may call in, where it talked about, you know, when you want to go to your brother with things, it talked about singing psalms to them. A song. You know, and when you read the psalms, it's not songs like Wasted Days and Wasted Nights, or Before the Next Teardrop Falls, or Behind Closed Doors, or, you know, Mama Got Run Over by a Reindeer. It's not those kind of songs. It's songs that lifts up God and edifies the weakness of man and the relationship of God and man and those sort of things. And I was thinking, wow, if we could just go in. But what I got to thinking, and you have to excuse me on this, but as the gunslinger, if we're fully armed and dangerous, and as I saw it in those old westerns where they would come into those towns and they would go in and they would stand in the gap and they would say to the evil people, not them, me. And I was thinking, wasn't that what God did? We were just sinners without hope, no way of escape. And I tell you what, we live in a world where we want to be entertained. And I tell you what, if you want to get a real feel for something and you want to get it entertained, and I guarantee you're not going to find much entertainment in it, watch that video of The Passion of Christ. When you think about superheroes, and we try to make God this superhero. And when you think about, you know, Superman, he could fly in and to save the day, and they could shoot him with a gun, and it would bounce off, the bullets bounced off of him and everything. But God wasn't that kind of superhero. He took the most cruel beating of anyone that was ever recorded, of some of the most cruel people of that time. And this was a very cruel time. And I love how, and I really believe that it was the power of Satan coming in so much, wanting to have prophecy not fulfilled and wanting it to be to where he came in and he won the day. I think deep down he thought he was going to win that day. And so as he was moving in and trying to, and these men beat Jesus. And then, you know, Jesus let us know. And there's prophecy in Isaiah that talked about these things happening 700 years before it happened. And we go through life and we act like all of a sudden you're like, you know, it's a new world and, you know, da da da, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, we can't live in the past and we can't live in the future. We have to live today. But if we're going to be ignorant, it's because we want to be ignorant. You know, now you can look in the Bible and you can read where the disciples, that they didn't really understand, and you can read about the leaders of the old church in Israel, how that, you know, they were instrumental in Jesus being crucified, and we can see that perspective is a part of this when you're looking at things that are future to come, and you may not get a real grasp of understanding, but there's scripture we've been sharing verse after verse after verse that talks about things about end time, and verse after verse after verse where it makes it clear the things that you'll see changed in God's people, to where you can see them and identify them just like you could in the West. You could identify a gunslinger. He had that certain walk. He had that gun in a certain way that he wore to let you know he knew how to use it. It wasn't something he was unfamiliar with. His ammunition was something he knew how to reload that weapon whenever he needed to reload it. And I was thinking of this brother, how he came to me. And on this one day that he came, it was right after I'd finished my prayer time, and I thought, you know, all this stuff about talking, all these things I could throw out there, I can't help him. Not on my own, but, and kind of bear with me here, but as a gunslinger of God and the weapons God's given me, I can help him. I can stand in the gap. And as I put my hand on that man's chest, and I felt led to pray for him right there, and I acknowledged that he wasn't the husband that he wanted to be. He wasn't the father that he wanted to be. He wasn't the man that he wanted to be. But we were crying out to God, and we said, you know, I let him know that the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. And we bound every spirit that come against his household, and every spirit that come against his family, and every spirit that come against him personally. The spirit of addiction we called by name, and we bound that so it couldn't come against him. And we sit there, and we just both kind of, I had my head on his shoulder and was weeping. He had his head on my chest and was weeping as we were sitting there doing this. And then we turned it to praise. And then we claimed him for the kingdom, that he was going to be that vessel that could do the things that he wanted to do in his life through the power of God. And that we were trusting in God and leaning on God to help it, to where we didn't just sit there in our self-pity and wallow to like, oh, I'm addicted to alcohol. Oh, I'm addicted to drugs. And keep following down there. That we were looking for God to take him up to a step higher than where he was right then. And we had a joint accountability together, that we were binding together as one through the power of God. Where it says, any two come together asking anything in faith, believing that it shall be done. And there was an anointing that came here. And that brother came to me today, and this has been over 2 months ago, and he said, I'm still clean. I'm still clean. And I thought, just how much I could have taken the word and the principles and precepts of God, and I could have hurt my brother. And instead, I stood in the gap for my brother. I thought, yes. Yes, it hit me today. That's what it's all about. That's what we are to do. There's always going to be a weaker brother. There's always going to be a weaker sister. There's going to be those that's just going to be weaker of mind, that they don't know how to apply faith, and they don't know how to put things in perspective to the things of God. And we can lift them up. I remember when I first prayed through this last time when I came to God, and I was really crying out to God, and I was seeking his face, and as he restored the things within me in our relationship and the power of his spirit, the one thing that came to mind was I didn't need to say anything. It didn't edify me. It didn't edify God, or it didn't edify God in others. And I've gotten really away from that in a lot of things in my conversation, and I was reminded of that today, that there's certain, you know, precepts. And we have scriptures that we hold on to where, you know, we talk about the callings of God or without repentance. And I've heard people say, well, you know, that means that, you know, God gave me this calling in my life, and even though I fell away, my calling is still there. And then there's other people that say, well, you know, when you establish certain things in ministry, that is your calling, and when whatever your vision, your ministry is that God has you put in place, that is to always be your calling and your ministry. And then, you know, there are certain scriptures like that we can, you know, put in play. But one of the things that I've noticed is causing a lot of confusion is when you're a gunslinger, you can't try to be something less. Because when you try to become something less, all of a sudden some of your senses don't work like they're supposed to. When you sit there and you try to be the politically correct person instead of being the gunslinger, it just doesn't work.
Well, that was awesome. I really believe that God was really in that. But only Wild Bill would come up with a gunslinger character to apply his lesson. But here's some scripture that he gave us to understand gunslinger training. If we're to be like Jesus, a.k.a. being a Christian, a.k.a. being Christ-like, we need to submit ourselves to the Master's hands, to be trained to use our provided weapons, identify our enemy, establish a continuing educational program, and being full of his spirit to have the power to stand true. First, I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians 1:26-27. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Our next scripture will be in Romans chapter 7, verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And now we're going to hear from Blog Talk Mom. She has some scripture for us.
Well,
how are you?
I'm fine. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you perfect.
Oh, wonderful. I'm in Arkansas visiting, and I appreciate the program. I'm going to be a gunslinger. maybe I should say a Holy Ghost gunslinger. That's excellent. Oh, well, I'll be there. What a testimony, Sister Starla.
Yes, it is.
Got to be encouraging and inspiring to anyone that would be listening. And in the archives also, he had given me the scriptures he had asked for in Ephesians, which are excellent. And I might mention that if a person would get in the habit of just symbolically putting on the whole armor of God, it takes less than 1 minute. You can elaborate on it, go deeper into it, but literally you can do it in 1 minute each day. It begins in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is one of the most tremendous sections of scripture in the whole Bible as far as I'm concerned. It helps me to, from day to day, to, if I will just focus on this, and I don't always, but when I do, and I take each part of the armor and the instruction, the job description that's given to me, it's going to include the intercession that Wild Bill was talking about. He was prepared because he had been in the presence of God. He had on the armor of God. So when a situation came up, he didn't go in his own strength. He didn't go in his own mind. He didn't go in that realm that he was illustrating at the very beginning, but he went in the armor and the force of the Spirit of God, and by doing so, great and mighty things were done. What a testimony. How encouraging and how inspiring. And is that all you want me to read right now, Sister Starla?
Yes. I am going to be reading in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And Blog Talk Mom, were you going to read in Ezekiel?
Yes, I have Ezekiel 13, chapter 13. Verse 3 and Ezekiel 22. Let's see, there's about six verses here. Let's go with Ezekiel 13, 3 through 5. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel, to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. We're talking about gunslingers. They weren't there. They weren't gunslingers. Where were they? Ezekiel 22:29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought, I love this scripture. This is God saying, and I sought for a man, a person, someone among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What an awesome scripture to give us the insight of how powerful our prayer and our intercession is for not only ourselves, our families, our nation, but the whole world. That's unbelievable. I love it. And that would be awesome.
And I'll be reading in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death, unto the death. And you can continue reading in Ephesians.
In Ephesians 1:17 through 23, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet. Ooh, glory to God! And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Praise God. Oh, those are rich scriptures. And I've got a couple in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. You want me to read those now?
Yes.
But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And I tell you what, y'all pray for me because I can really be hospitable.
I understand that one.
Bad, bad, bad. Okay. Remember, we're talking about gunslingers, so we got to be humble here, aren't we? Okay. And as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Our next scripture is John 15:11-14. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you.
That is beautiful. I have Isaiah 53:4-7.
Yes.
Okay. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through verse 7. Surely he hath borne, even Jesus Christ, our grief. Isaiah was the great writer that saw the suffering Messiah. And he related that, as Wild Bill said, hundreds of years before the Messiah was born and suffered and died and rose again. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. I love that. You know, he didn't deserve any of the things, as Wild Bill said, in watching just a film on the Passion. Jesus didn't deserve any of that. He took that. He took my grief, and he carried my sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. 1 Peter 2:21-25. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Lord, forgive me. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
Well, that part of our mouth, keeping our mouth shut and wanting to attack or flee is part of our nature, but as you can see, if we are going to be Christ-like, this is another area where we have to find a new thought process and discipline in our life. But here is Wild Bill again with the rest of his message.
You know, before we went into these scriptures here, I was talking about our concept of superheroes. And you know, when you get to thinking about scripture in the Bible, that makes it clear our accountability, responsibilities, and we look at the things that God has done in his interaction with man, and you look at the crucifixion, and we have scriptures that let us know that, you know, he paid a special price for us. And I heard someone make a statement not long ago about how that God paid healing in our body and us for the faith of what we're standing on. But when you think and you stop and you visualize, and that movie, The Passion of the Christ, really helps you do that. When you realize the awful, awful beating that he took before he was even crucified, when you realize the blood that was shed there, the stripes that was put on that body that had done nothing wrong, that was innocent, had no sin in his life at all, who all he did was good for man, who showed us a more perfect way to live, and then he had to become our sacrifice, and you go into looking at the stripes that was put on his body. It wasn't like a switch that was used. It was had the cat of nine tails, and you can read, and there's all things in history that describes this instrument as to what it was and how awful it was and how that it could grab flesh and tear it from the body. And it wasn't just the stinging of the whip and the hooking of the flesh and the tearing of the flesh, and how he was bruised and beaten. The crown of thorns that was shoved on his head, where he was mocked for being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I said many times, they were so lucky that I wasn't the one that was in that position, because I would have been calling 10,000 angels and mankind would have been over and done with. And you think about a third of the angels that fell, and God chose us to be the example of his love, but more than that, to pay the price for our salvation, because these angels, for sure hell was created for them. It wasn't created for mankind. It was enlarged for the sin of man and sinful man to be able to take part with the fallen angels. But when you think about the power of love, there is no greater power. The power of love is where a mother can see a child trapped up underneath a car, and this 100-pound woman can pick up a 3,000-pound car and move it off her child. You know, the love of a parent for a child can make it to where they will put themselves in harm's way to save their child, and with no thought or anything about it. You know, the power of love. And we talk about, you know, how that the scripture talks about, you'll know my people because they have love one for another. And I think so many times that, and how he makes us co-responsible for our brothers and sisters all throughout his word. And I just threw a couple of scriptures out there. There's just so much of God's word. And we talk all the time about how it's so easy to pick and choose from God's word the things we want to apply. But it's important to know all of God's word and to understand what was specific for that time, and who it was written to, and why it was written to them. Because you can find that there's many people in the Bible, they started off as gunslingers. You know, you can see where they moved out and they were doing things to be a blessing to their brethren, and, you know, they were following after the things of God. And then you can see how they themselves fell. And you didn't see everybody else come running up like, "Yeah, I told you so, you hypocrite. Bless God, I knew you wasn't for real. If you was for real, you'd have never done something like that. Well, bless God, I'll tell you right now, you never see me in any of my household doing anything like that. You've forgotten the face of your father." You know, and it's just so easy to want to fall into that thing of judgment and wanting to separate things from people and not realizing that they're a whole person, and to think that we are ourselves a complete person as to who we are. Our personality is not perfect by any means, none of us, and not even me. Okay, Starla, sit down over there. I know you want to jump up and say something, but no, seriously, you know, it's one of those things that we get this thing because we think things a certain way, and we have certain things that are strong within us in our spiritual walk with God that we want to look at things in other people. So, well, I don't know why they do that. I don't know why they even try sometimes. If they're not going to do any better than that, one day they're at church and they're shouting and they're praising God, and the next day they're out there in the world and I see them wearing things that they shouldn't be wearing. They're talking to people they shouldn't be talking. They're saying things that they shouldn't be saying. Bless God, they might as well just go ahead and stay away from church because they're going to bust hell wide open. You know, what kind of love is there in that? When we really get to thinking about the fullness of God's word and what he's called us to be, it's not just one of those things for ourselves. How many times have we got so locked into trying to work out our own salvation over and over and over and over and over and over, and we fall down and we get up and we fall down and we get up and we stay in that same place time after time after time after time, and there is no growth and there is no stepping up to a higher level, and then we want to reach out there because misery loves company and we want to drag other people down to our level instead of coming up to a level that's higher than where we are. And the reason is that is because the things of God is real simple for them to become common. I can tell you when I was a police officer that the first time that I had to strap on a gun and walk out in that police uniform on the street, I was scared to death. I was so afraid of what people would think of me. I was so worried about their perception was, "Oh, he thinks he's bad. He thinks he's a man. He got a gun. Oh, he thinks he's a big bad man with a gun." And so we have this whole mindset about as we start getting things added into our lives. And there are some people, you know, we've seen them out there that they have that attitude. "Oh, I'm the big bad man with the gun. I'm the man. You're going to listen to what I got to say because I the man. I know everything now because I the man." And I see the same thing with people in church. They, you know, they came from probably a horrible background, and it was just through the grace and love and mercy of God and the price that was paid for our salvation, which I keep talking about, that all of a sudden that they are a more perfect person than what they were before, and you feel clean and alive. And I heard Blog Talk Mom talk about one time how that one of her birds got out, and it reminded her of that song, "He Set Me Free," because that bird was all over the place. It was glad to be out of that cage. And I've seen it with dogs where all of a sudden they've been in a pen or they've been locked up in a house, and and you let them out, man, they'll go tearing out across the front yard, and they'll stop at the street, and they'll run over this way, and they'll circle around the tree, and they'll come back, and they'll almost knock you down, run into you, and then they'll tear back out the other way because they're free. Woohoo! I'm free! Looky what I done! I'm free! And guess what? You didn't do anything. You accepted something that was given to you, that was freedom, that was supplied. It wasn't any work that you did. It wasn't anything that you paid for. It wasn't anything good within you. It wasn't none of your righteousness. It wasn't your holiness. But guess what? When you repent of your sins, there's still none of your righteousness, and there's none of your holiness. It's His blood that covers our sins, the wrong things in our life. And so when you go up from there, and as you get to growing just a little bit, and you can see it with big brothers and little brothers, and I used to torment my poor little sister, you know, by, you know, different things, and I'm not going to go into that because she'll come back and she'll beat me up, but I don't want to remind her. But it's one of those things that you can see how there's certain siblings that they are helpful to their brothers and sisters. And there's other older brothers and sisters who become bullies because all of a sudden I'm the big bad old one now, and I'm stronger and I'm smarter and I know more than you do. And so they can become abusive in their relationship and everything. And this has the same thing with doing this, looking at the gunslinger and looking at things in the old West, when you realize that there's certain things that's already established in these towns. There's this one man that thinks that he wants to run it all because of his greed and everything. And if you can stop and think on a spiritual level, then it talks about, you know, we battle not against flesh and blood. Well, what do we battle against? Well, there's things that's established in our towns. There's things that's already established in our life. Our sin's been forgiven. We're created a new creature, but there's some accountability and responsibility that goes from there. And when you realize that there's certain things that has dominions in certain areas, where you realize that there's spirits of depression, there's spirits of addiction, there's spirits of infirmity. You know, just the list goes on and on of all these spirits that are you know, we get to thinking of, you know, good and bad and angels and all these things that are there because we don't see it. You know, it's all make-believe and fantasy and everything, but this spiritual warfare is going on daily. And so you got to get your mind under control. You got to take the doors in your life of things, and some of them you need to put a padlock on and say, I'm not going back there anymore. And God's given us control over those things in our mind when we use the power that He's given us through the power of the Holy Ghost. He didn't tell us this awesome thing you got to do. Okay, now, I'm going to let you go out, and you're going to be my gunslinger, and you're going to go out there, and you're going to be salt and light, and you're going to go out there, and you're going to spread my love to the whole world, and in doing this, I just wish you the best of luck. Just do the best you can. That's all I ask. It's not that way at all. When you go through God's Word and you find out all the special ammunitions and the weapons that are there for us to use and the things that are there to protect us and the fivefold ministry that's there to instruct us, when you just think about all these things that's there, you're not out there alone. You can be fully armed and dangerous because you're going to go through the training and you're going to learn how to apply the things of God's Word. But you need to understand that we need to start treating people not just how we want to be treated. If we're trying to be Christ-like, we need to treat people like God treated people. You know, it just been so simple for Him to stay away from the situation when the woman was about to be stoned. She had done sin. She met the qualifications for stoning. That's not under debate. That's not something to be disputed. She had done what they said she did. She admitted it. When Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, it was clear the things in her life, and it was wrong. It was wrong. But He's reaching out to those. There is no little right and little wrong. And that's, I think that's one of those perceptions like, well, I was raised up in church my whole life and I never really did anything wrong. You know, I just kind of went out there in the world a little bit and I got separated from God. And I just, you know, just ran from God. Maybe went to a few bars or, you know, watched movies and things that I shouldn't have seen. Started dressing the way I wasn't supposed to. And, well, you know, and you get thinking and all of a sudden you realize that things were a whole lot more than what you thought, because sin is one of those things that's always going to take you a lot further down the road than you ever intended for it to go. And the further you let it take you, the further it's going to take you. It's one of those things that you just can't give a little bit. There is no little sin and big sin. It's all sin. It's all disobedience to God, or from God, from the things that He wants us to have in our life. So when you get to thinking about applying God's Word to your life and you realize that you are your brother's keeper. It's funny, the only place in the Bible where it talks about that was where the guy just killed his brother. You know, but when you get to thinking about the love, and He makes it clear that no greater love has a man than he lay down his life for another. And we talk about being Christian, which means to be Christ-like. And we think of all the times that we want to go out there in love you know, sister so-and-so. I just don't know how to tell you this, but that's ungodly dress that you have on right there. And those words you're saying, oh, man, you're offending the angels in heaven, not to mention you're offending my poor delicate ears with the things that you're saying. You know, you can say things that need to be said, but you can do it in a wrong light. We talked about earlier about singing it as a psalm, you know, making it where you can make your point without killing someone. You don't have to load your gun with God's word and a letter of it and shoot your brother in the head. It doesn't have to be that way. I shared before, you know, talking about how that I had people say things to me that were of good people and were probably of clear conscience in what they were saying and things that they had established in their life. But they hurt me in a way that there was no reason to hurt me. There was no reason for it to go that far. And you know, that's one of the great things about this country we live in today. You can go just about five blocks down the street, and on every corner you're going to find some kind of church that's going to preach something that's going to tickle your ears and tickle your fancy. And heaven forbid, I'm not talking about the churches shouldn't stand up and preach the truth. As a matter of fact, I think we're getting too far away from standing on the promises of God's word to where it used to be. I'll tell you what, I was so blessed as a young person. I went to a church that the platform is established as an area to help people get in the mindset that this church was established on worship. And if God inhabits the praise of his people, and worship and praise are a type of the same thing, you know, you start off with praise and it goes into a dominion of worship. And when you realize that, and here I was in a church that they had the platform set for people who wanted to take part and were not of the two elderly that couldn't take part. They walked up there, and during song service, it was an open floor. It was an area to where there was nothing there to inhibit you in any way from leaping for joy or having a dance or a holy hop or taking off from there and running around the church or whatever. I was so blessed to be a part of that. But now we got our formats in our churches to where, you know, we're going to go up, we're going to introduce everyone to who the speaker is for the day. We want to welcome everybody to the church service, and then we're going to sing two songs, and then we're going to take our announcements, and then we're going to come up and we're going to sing a song and take up offering. Then a preacher is going to preach, and maybe there might be an altar call, and there will be a song involved with that. And I'm not saying that there doesn't have to be some sort of structure in the church, because we got some churches today that, you know, they got over 1,000 people in the service. You know, it would be kind of hard to have something set up to where it could be open enough for everyone to just have free open range to just be able to worship God. But does that mean we're not establishing our churches and what it needs to be? Does that mean we need to go out there and we need to straighten up the church? No. You need to make up your mind. It's what I referred to before. If you want a revival in your church, be a revival. How can you do that? You can become God's gunslinger. And you're like, what is this with the gunslinger? But you really think about this. And you think about the Knights of the Round Table. They took an accountability and responsibility. Now, you know, there's bad gunslingers out there, that spirit of infirmity, the spirit of addiction, those things out there. Don't think that these things are just pushovers. Because with you within yourself, you're not going to be able to overcome those things. You're not going to be able to help your brother. The best way you can help your brother is taking care of those things in your own life. But when you realize that there's principalities set up in your cities and in your neighborhoods and in families and around your church, then you realize that you can go and you can battle those things. You can look at David, where he came up on the scene and God's army was there and they were in battle array and the enemy was before them and the giant was cursing God. And he stood up and he said, hey, this is wrong. He didn't go up there and browbeat the army. He didn't go to the king and say, you big dummy, you big sissies. My little sister would go out there and she wouldn't let something like this happen. He didn't go up there and say, God's word said, thus saith the Lord God, go out there and take this land and kill this enemy and go out there and do your job. You're the army of God. He stood in the gap and he said, I will confront this enemy. I will. He didn't say, what's wrong with you guys? He said, I will. And when you get that mindset, it's, I'm the gunslinger. When I realize that I can't stay where I am and I got to do these things through God, through the bringing down of strongholds, where I'm going to stand in the gap for myself, for my family, for my church, for my brothers, for my sisters, for my city, for my lost loved ones. When you realize that you got to be the one to stand in that gap, where you're going to say, here I am, and I ain't in myself, I'm not nothing more than maybe a little shepherd boy with a little sling here and some stones in it. But it's not through my might, and it's not through my strength. Woo, but it's through the power of the Holy Ghost that dwells within me that I'm confronting this spirit. And God said that I could say to by myself, in the name of Jesus, 1,000 of you, be gone. And they have to be gone. And he lets us know that he paid certain things where the price of healing was paid for. With his stripes we were healed. And you can go in there and you can say, I'm standing on God's word. And I'm praying for my brother. And I'm praying for my sister. And the spirit of affliction is there. Instead of going up there and saying, oh, I got some aspirin here. I heard you say you needed, you know, prayer for a headache here at church. It was, you know, you got tears running down your face. This can give you some relief. When we start binding together in the spiritual realm, when we do away with these things of flesh and blood, and we realize that within those things we are so weak, there's so many things we can't do on our own, but through God, when we stand up in faith and say, I will stand up in the gap. Oh, the power of God. He wants to perform his word through the lives of his people. He's looking for people to say, yes, I will stand in the gap. Yes, I will be that person. Will there be persecutions? Yes. Will there be trials? Yes. But I'm reminded of this movie I saw as a kid where this guy was a boxer and he was fighting. And they said, you know, this guy, he's so strong he could kill you. And he said, if I die, I die. And I was thinking about Paul where he said, if I die, it's gain. I can't lose if I use what I have to use. When I realize in my life, you know, we comedians make fun of us because they say we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to die to get there. Well, why not? What is so important that's in this world today? Yes, I love my family. And I don't want to pull the plug tomorrow if something goes wrong. Like, okay, take me on out of here. But if we have that mindset, and it's that stinking thinking thing I've been trying to get in here to get us to realize, we don't need to look back as to the things that were old. We need to look forward to the things that are new. We need to stand on the promises of God today, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's now that needs come into play. It's now where there's a need that you say, yes, I will stand in the gap. You say, well, you know, we're going to have a meeting about this next week, and we're going to get groups together, and I think Brother So-and-so, he's probably going to stand in the gap on this, and Sister So-and-so is going to stand in the gap on that. Or we sit up here like, I don't know why all this stuff has to fall on me. You think I was the only person that goes to that church? Dad blessed it. I just don't know what's going on over there. It's just all in our way of thinking. It's time. Satan is gearing up. His armies, the things that we see on our streets, if someone could come back, like I said before, for the 1930s and be dropped into our world today, and they could be an on-fire Pentecostal preacher from the 30s, you drop them here today, they would be shocked at some of the things that's going on in our churches because people don't want to stand up. Men and women don't want to have a backbone to stand in there and say, yes, me. Yes, me. No, it's not that way. We're sitting there. We're so complacent with things. You know, 9/11, that was a long time ago now. But we saw when Katrina came through and those people on the southern part of our coast, we saw the devastation that came in, and we realized just how this image of what we have as far as life is not what we really think it is. How it's just one of those things, how delicate it's all put together, the security that we think we have and the freedoms we think we have and the rights we think we have. All these things we thought, oh, we're proud to be an American. Well, you talk to those people that live down here in New Orleans, down here during Katrina, and see what they thought about it during that time. When we could sit there on news and we could watch newscasters that managed to get there somehow or another and could sit there and talk to these people while they were still trapped on the roof of their home and people were dying day in, day out, and they wanted to interview them. I remember one guy said, you know, you come up here and you want to talk to me again with a microphone, you don't bring me and my family some water, I'm going to shoot somebody. You know, it's we realize that our image of things, you want to talk about going into fantasy land with knights of the round table and gunslingers and everything, stop and look in the mirror and think about what this life really is that we have right now. When we realize we're just here for just a short time, and I know I'm rambling here, and I do want to open this up for other people to talk, but I do have a song that I want to share with all of you, and I hope you enjoy this, and I'm looking forward to hear what everybody else has to say about the show, and thank you so much for bearing with me tonight.
Ourselves now.
Boy, wasn't that a powerful message. Well, we have a caller in, Sister Kaiser.
Yes.
How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm very well.
Well, do you have any thoughts? I'm sorry? Hello? Blog Talk Mom?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes. Sister Kaiser has something to do with gunslingers. She was helping me this week when it just so happened that I contacted some type of infection. I've had extremely high fever and been missing here in Arkansas. And she was, we were talking about prayer, and she went to the 17th chapter of St. John. And, you know, most people, when we say the Lord's Prayer, we think of the prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, which is a beautiful, beautiful prayer. It was the example that God gave us. It was a pattern. And if we're going to be a gunslinger, we're going to have that relationship and know what God has done for us individually. So Sister Kaiser was sharing with me about the scripture in the 17th chapter of John. Is she there? Can she come on?
Okay.
The...
Sister Kaiser?
Yes. Can you hear
okay.
me?
Okay. Yes, we hear you.
Okay, well, as Sister Lyda was saying, everyone that you speak to about the Lord's Prayer, they say, "Our Father." But as I was reading the Bible, came across John 17:1. These words, this is the real Lord's Prayer. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." This is Jesus praying for humanity. "And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me them me, and they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them," oh, I like this, "the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that thou might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent unto them the world, them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through the truth. neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, and that as we presented to you tonight is the original, only Lord's Prayer.
Wow, that was amazing. I never knew that.
Oh, yeah. He is praying the whole chapter right there. I'd like to say, give a shout-out, if I may, to Sister Rita in Illinois. And she's been having some physical problems, and her brother-in-law and her nephew are needing some prayer. That's the child that lost his mother. And if it's okay, I just want to tell them, Sister Rita, if you're listening, if you're hearing us, we pray for you. And the Lord, in this chapter, the Lord said he prays for his children. I think that is awesome.
Awesome.
And so it is awesome. So the Lord bless you. I'll bless you, Sister Rita, and all the rest with you.
Well, Blog Talk Mom, have you got something you want to share with us?
Well, that particular prayer and the way that we meditated upon that today and this week has meant so much to me. And then this program has, I thank Wild Bill and I thank you, because I know it takes a lot of time and you put a lot of prayer and Bible study in this program. And it has meant so much to me, Mr. Kaiser Reed, because, you know, a lot of times people call me and it's a compliment. They'll call me for prayer. And then we'll put somebody on the prayer chain, you know, so everybody will pray. But when we can get in our mind that there was a day, we know a sacrifice that Jesus did, that he literally prayed for us, that we wouldn't fail, that we would manifest his glory, that we would not be overcome by the things that we have to face from day to day. It's a real world. There's a lot of very real pain and disappointments and disillusionment. It's very real. And when we know that Jesus already knew and he prayed that we would not be overcome by the darkness or the hurt, or the misunderstandings, he promised. He prayed that, and that is so encouraging to me. He's such a powerful, loving, nurturing God for us as individuals. And I have thoroughly enjoyed every scripture and every word. Wild Bill was very anointed this evening, and the program was anointed. Don't you agree?
Yes, I agree. It was a great show.
There's been people in my life, Sister Kaiser has been, as a minister, has always been very powerful when I would need prayer, when I need her to intercede for me, stand in the gap, so to speak. And then there's been those that I've studied about and read about. And one of them, one lady that is outstanding to me, is Sister Nona Freeman. And Sister Nona Freeman was a missionary, I believe, over 40-something years in Africa. And her life is just, every part of it is just so encouraging. But one of the things that she did in several services in different areas that I would be privileged to hear her speak, and she would hold out your hand, like you were just going to hold out your left hand like you were going to receive something from someone. And she said, now take your other hand, and whatever it is that is so devastating, you know, breaking you apart, and place it in that hand. That, take your right hand, place the problem symbolically into your left hand, and then just start praying and lift it up to the Lord and let it go. Just let it go. Give it to him. And that sounds easy, it sounds like it'd be so simple. But for me, I lift it up, hold it up, and then I bring it back. And I maybe not immediately, but I'll do it. And then I work through it again. And I was talking to doorbells today, and I was saying that in another way, but I was saying it in a negative, almost self-accusing way. But as we talked, I realized that's part of the process. Each time that we face a difficulty and we take it to God and we work through it, see, what we do, or what I do, is the next time it comes around, I won't face it because I think, no, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm a Christian. I'm a gunslinger. No, gunslingers don't do that. But if we do, if we fail to be a gunslinger, if we don't go ahead and polish up our boots and load our guns and make sure everything, you know, that where our authority comes from. If you're just a gunslinger, you're going to get put in prison. Because gunslingers, you know, I don't want to go out and face a gunslinger when I go to my car. But if it's a gunslinger with authority, you know, he's in the Army, the Navy, he's a policeman, he's a FBI man, then that's it. I want my authority as a gunslinger to come from that 17th chapter of John, from that prayer that the Lord prayed. And this all fits together. You can sure connect the dots on this program tonight, and I do thank you again. Thank you, Sister Starla, for being such a wonderful wife to my son.
Well, I appreciate that, and he is a wonderful husband to me. And also, I want to thank my sweet mother-in-law. I really appreciate what you're doing to help me with this show, help Wild Bill, with the grace and your wisdom, and you speak with such authority and confidence, and I admire you for that. Someday, I would like that. That you bring so much to this show, and I really love and appreciate you.
Yes, I do appreciate those wonderful kind words this week with me feeling under the weather. It seems like I've been so grumpy. I mentioned one time about me going to church. I guess I've been fighting some kind of situation here for a few weeks, and the preacher quit preaching about the Sunday school teacher. Completely left his message and started talking about grumpy Christians. I thought, gosh. And then tonight, these scriptures. But, you know, if we've got to admit that there is a problem, if God is going to be able to do anything about it, that's why confession, admission, is the first step for the Lord to be able to cleanse and to set us free and to forgive us. But it seems like I hope the next program Wild Bill does, I can say, yes, I've overcome this. But I teach a lot on the scriptures that there's for everything. There's a time and there's a season. There are seasons that we feel like we can just leap over a wall, run through a troop, and there's times we feel like the wall fell on us and the troop ran over us. But to every part of it, it's a lesson. It's something beautiful that God is revealing to us through these things. It makes me more humble after it's all over with. Otherwise, we get a little haughty, don't we, about, well, I'd never make a mistake. I don't think anybody thinks that they don't make a mistake. I think a lot of us at times are afraid to admit that we make mistakes. And that's really the sad, that we are humans. But I want to be that God-given, what is it, Annie Oakley? It was the lady that could shoot a gun, or she was noted for being such a cowgirl.
I believe it was.
That'll work, won't it?
Yeah, that'll work. Well, I guess we could go ahead and close out our show tonight. Blog Talk Mom, I wonder if you could close it with some prayer.
I would love to do that. There was another lady that I've used, a missionary that I've used to teach children. Her name was Mary Schlossel. And this lady went to Africa, and one of the remarkable things that she did, in the area that she lived, they thought that if a woman had twins, that it was they were consummated through an evil spirit, and they were abandoned. They would take them, they wouldn't walk, wouldn't be anywhere that they were, and they would take them and leave them out in the woods or out in the forest to be killed, to be eaten by animals. And so I don't know how many she raised. She immediately began to gather them up and raised them to be adults. And that, wow. You talk about a demon slinger. That lady, the things that she did, there. I know on one occasion she went to it was a witch doctor that had set a whole bunch of traps for her. And they were like, she was walking through the jungle. They were supposed to be evil spirits that would, you know, be connected with these trinkets that they put out, these traps. She was a little bitty woman. And the story goes that as she walked through the woods, she would sing, as Wild Bill was talking about singing a song, and she would begin to sing a song, quote the word of God, and when she'd come up on one, she'd kick it just as far as she could, and it would just go sailing through the air, and it just, but eventually she won that huge witch doctor to Jesus Christ, in that entire area, she won it to the Lord. And I want to be that kind of gunslinger the rest of my days. I want to win others to the Lord. So let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, we approach you, Almighty God, and we ask that you help us and give us that power and strength that we need. Watch over this program. Bless it. Bless every word, every scripture, every testimony. Lord, let there be ears opened. Let there be hearts touched. Let there be spirits revived. Because, Lord, you are the God of all creation, and you love us, and you have already prayed for us. So we join in that prayer and believe you, Lord, that there will be great fruit that comes from everything that's been done in your name. In Jesus' name we plead the blood. Amen and amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, this was great.
Yes. Well, thank you, and we appreciate you all listening tonight, and we'll see you back here next week. Thank you.